from the beginning of this year and what we're going to talk about the rest of the year. It's WWJD. What would Jesus do? All of our sermons this year are going to center around Jesus and what he would do and the things he said and what he does. As I say every time I'm up here, whenever I think of WWJD, sometimes I don't know what he would do. And so I sat down and started praying. And then I brought this prayer to the church. And we've been saying it together. So if you will, say it with me. Jesus, show me what to do. Jesus, prepare me for what is next. Jesus, bless my neighbor as you bless me. Amen and amen. The last time I was standing here, I talked about how we spend our time. How much time we spend sleeping. And I was amazed when I found out the numbers on some of this stuff. 3,000 hours a year I spend sleeping. That's the average person. Working. We spend a lot of hours working. We spend a whole lot of hours watching TV. Almost 2,000 hours a year watching TV, which is equal to watching 2 months of TV without getting up. Just 2.5 months of just watching TV. And then there's the average person that serves about 52 hours a year. But I want to ask, do you ever take time to take a breath? Why is it that we have spent all this time working and we get a little bit of time of watching TV and stuff? We're busy. We're a busy person. I asked several other folks, like, you know, do you spend much time serving? And you know, their answers are, you know, I don't have much time. You know, by the time that I've worked all week and then I get home, I barely have time to breathe. So do you take time to breathe? Have you heard a saying that says, stop and smell the roses? Have you heard that saying before? Yes. I wondered where that came from, and I found out that it was a rephrasing from a golfer, Walter Hagen, his autobiography. And in that autobiography, he says, don't hurry, don't worry, and be sure to smell the flowers along the way. And we turned it into, shorten that up, stop and smell the roses. But how many of us actually do find time to stop and smell the roses? How do we get to make time? How do we get unrushed time for prayer? Unrushed time for family and friends. And something real important, time for ourselves. Now, Jesus did all that. See, we live in a world, it's super busy. We get up in the morning, we hurry to get our kids ready for school. We get ready for work. We work all day. We pick our kids up from school. We go to the grocery store. We fix supper. We clean dishes. We wash some clothes. We get kids ready for bed. We shower ourselves and get ready for bed. We say a prayer and get into bed so amped up from the day that you can't sleep. And as soon as you go to sleep, it's time to get up and do it all over again. I remembered when I started writing that out right there, I remembered times where I had 4 different kids in 3 different schools and getting them up in the morning and getting each one of them to the school at a different time and then being out working all day and then getting back in time to pick one up while the other one's getting out, standing outside in the rain, and then we have to get this one and get them back over here because now they got some kind of extracurricular activity. We're busy. We're super busy. So how did Jesus do it? Man, I've been studying some scripture. Jesus was busy. We think we're busy. Jesus was busy. Jesus took time to connect to God through prayer.
I think this is in your bulletins if you want to write this down. And Jesus took time to connect with others. And he took time to take care of himself. So let's look at this first thing, prayer. Jesus made time to connect to God through prayer. And step 11, if we're in recovery, we're supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to make time to connect with God. Step 11 is we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So if we're practicing step 11, the word improve is in there. So that already means that we are spending some kind of time trying to connect with God. I ask you, are you? Are you making that time? Are you figuring that out? See, let me set this up. So I'm telling you, I was talking to you just a minute about how busy we are, but I want you to understand just how busy Jesus was. In Matthew 14, John the Baptist was killed. And John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. They were really, really close. They weren't born too far apart. They're really, really close. And so let's read about John the Baptist right quick. At the time of Herod, this is Matthew 14, starting at verse 1. At the time of Herod, the ruler of Galilee heard the reports about Jesus. So he said to his servants, "Jesus is John the Baptist who is risen from the dead. That is why he can work these miracles." Sometime before this, Herod had arrested John, tied him up, and put him into prison. Herod did this because Herodias, who had been the wife of Philip, Herod's brother, John had been telling Herod, "It is not lawful for you to be married to Herodias." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they believed John was a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for Herod and his guest, and she pleased him. So he promised with an oath to give her anything she wanted. Herodias told her daughter what to ask for, so she said to Herod, "Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Although King Herod was very sad, he had made a promise, and his dinner guests had heard him. So Herod ordered what she asked for be done. He sent soldiers to the prison and cut off John's head and brought it in on a platter and gave it to the girl. And she took it and gave it to her mother. John's followers came and got his body and buried it. Then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened to John, he left in a boat and went to a lonely place by himself. But the crowds followed. The crowds heard about it and followed him on foot from the towns. When he arrived, he saw a crowd, a great crowd, waiting. He felt sorry for them, and he healed those who were sick. So I say all that to set all this up. Jesus had just heard that his cousin has had his head chopped off. And he tries to find time just to get away, to be alone for a moment, to talk to God, to be in the presence of the Lord. Man, that's some pretty rough news that you just get. And so he tries to get away, but the crowds are so much upon him. The crowds are so much surrounding him, the crowds are so much trying to get at him that he can't find time to get away. Right after this is when he fed the 5,000. He started to preach, and it said right here that he started to heal and perform miracles. That was the 5,000 plus. There was more like 14,000 people there. You think he had a lot on his hands? Now, that's a ministry, man. And so he's trying to
find time to get away to do these, to be with God, but there's so many people that he makes time for them. And when he gets to a place where everyone's fed, and he wants to, and he see the apostles tried to send them home, and he said, no, we're not going to send them home yet. We've got to feed them. And they said, well, we don't have anything to feed them. And they gathered up a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread, and they fed 14,000 people with it. This is what Jesus is doing at the time he heard about John's death. But then I want you to look at verse 22. Immediately, Jesus told his followers to get in the boat and go ahead of him across the lake. This is after it was all said and done. He stayed there to send the people home. After he had sent them away, he went by himself up into the hills to pray. It was late, and Jesus was there alone. So he did find time. He found time. Now, what I want you to listen to is this part right here. It was late. How many times have we, it's so late. I'll make time to do that in the morning. It is way past our bedtime. I'm not sure that I'll do that tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, and then you have that list of things I just read off. That's the first thing you have to do in the morning. So what do? We make time to be alone and pray. I know a lot of people who wake up earlier because their days go late. So they wake up earlier. John Lanier, that man used to wake up every day, 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that.
Probably 5.
5, and he had spent time with God. I've called him at 6, and him be up studying and spending meditated time with God. You have to wake up earlier. You may have to stay up later. Make time to spend with God. If you're practicing these 12 steps, it's part of it. It's something we're supposed to do on a daily. Prayer and meditation. Let's look at how Jesus spent time connecting with others. In John 4, he connected to a Samaritan woman at a well. See, and you might not think that's any big deal, like he traveled to Samaria and went and met a woman. But here's the deal. He was a Jew. Jews don't go to Samaria. They don't like those people. They're the unclean people. They just don't have anything to do with them. They're enemies, right? But Jesus was in one spot, and he needed to go to another spot that was on the other side of Samaria. And all the other times that any Jew goes to this other spot, they go around. But Jesus made a special appointment to meet that woman at the well. He made time to connect with her. In Luke 19, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was followed. The crowd was following Jesus around in his town, and he wanted to see Jesus. He had heard about this Jesus, but he wanted to see him, but he was so short. Plus, he was a tax collector. Nobody wanted to help him. So I picture this crowd moving down the street, and Zacchaeus back here, and they know who he is, and they're like, go get. Get back, get away, man. They're not nobody helping him to see Jesus. Zacchaeus finds a tree to climb up into. Jesus spots him in that tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come on down out of that tree. I'm connecting with you today. I'm going to have dinner at your house. I wonder what everybody said. You know what I mean?
I mean, I wonder what everybody felt like. They were shunning and trying to push him away, and then this is the guy that Jesus picks. In Luke 24, on the road to Emmaus, two of Jesus' followers were walking to a town, Emmaus, and it was about 7 miles from where they were coming from. They were talking about what had happened, and this is after Jesus had been crucified. They were talking about what had happened there. And Jesus shows up and walks with them, but they're kept from recognizing who he is. And so they tell Jesus about what has happened, and haven't you heard? Then Jesus started to preach to them. If you look at verse 27, it's Luke 24, verse 27, it says, "Then, starting with what Moses and all the prophets had said about him, Jesus began to explain everything that had been written about himself in the scriptures. They came near the town of Emmaus, and Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they begged him, 'Stay with us, because it is late. It is almost night.' So he went in to stay with them. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took some bread, gave thanks, divided it, and gave it to them. And then they were allowed to recognize Jesus. But when they saw who he was, he disappeared. They said to each other, 'It felt like fire burning in us when Jesus talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us.' So the two followers got up at once and went back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 apostles and the others gathered. They were saying, 'The Lord really has risen from the dead.' He showed himself to Simon. Then the followers told what had happened on the road and how they recognized Jesus when he divided the bread." So there's a couple of things I want you to look at right here. After he had already been crucified, he appears to a couple of his followers that were on a 7-mile journey to the town of Emmaus. He connects with them. He didn't let them know that he was Jesus, but he connects with them through Scripture. He tells them all about Jesus through Scripture. Then he comes and breaks bread with them. And whenever he breaks bread with them, their eyes are opened. They recognize that it was Jesus. And then he disappears. So why did he make that connection? The answer is, so when the two followers got up at once and ran back to Jerusalem, they got up at once. It was late. It was already night. It was dark. They got up at once and ran back together to connect with the others. They ran 7 miles through the desert so they could connect back to the people that they were with. At once. They didn't say, "Ooh, we just walked 7 miles. Man, that's it's 10 o'clock right now. You know, they're not expecting us. They'll still be there in the morning." They left at once to go and connect with the others. So how can we better connect with others? Here's an easy one. Come to church. Show up. Come to church. Come to the meetings. What I do is I go to another church on Sunday morning, and it won't be the same one. There was a time here not too long ago that we had a different worship leader here every single week. And how that happened was, we needed a worship leader,
And I had visited so many other churches and made connections with different worship leaders through these different churches. And so when we found ourselves in a bind and needed some worship leading, I'd already made those connections because I went to church. Make connections with other people. And then we want to talk about how did Jesus take time for himself. Now, this scripture, I think we're going to continue to wear this one out. It's Mark 4, 35 through 41. Jesus calms the storm. That evening, Jesus said to his followers, "Let's go across the lake." Leaving the crowds behind, they took him in a boat just as he was. There was also other boats with them. A very strong wind came up on the lake. The waves came over the sides into the boat so that it was already full of water. Jesus was at the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a cushion. His followers woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind stopped and it became completely calm. Jesus said to his followers, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The followers were very afraid and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Okay, so I like to look at this story. Jesus has been out healing people. He's been working all day. He's been ministering all day. They finally get into a boat, and they're going to go across the lake to where there's more people that he needs to minister to. So he finds a little bit of time to lay down. He climbs in the bow of the boat and he lays down on a cushion and he falls asleep. Well, the wind and the waves come up, and of course, the guys on the boat get scared. They wake him up. Here's what I picture. Jesus getting up. "Oh, man, what? And they said, "Don't you care that we're going to drown?" And he's like, "I'm on this boat. I'm on this boat. Do you think that I'm going to allow this to happen? That I'm going to allow you to die when I'm on the boat with you? I'm just trying to get some rest, man." And he says, "Quiet, be still." And of course, they all, whoa. And he looks back at him and he rolls his eyes and goes, "Good night." Amen. Crawls back under there and goes right back to sleep. Now, the reason I think that he probably went right back to sleep is because in the next few verses right after that, he has to get back out and go right back to work. He heals a man that's demon-possessed right after that. See, even Jesus had to stop and rest in the midst of a chaotic world. And Trina tells me a lot of times, like, she's real good about it. When she's off, she can stay home and rest. And I can't. I got to be busy doing something. And she'll tell me, "It's okay. You need to rest. You need to just chill a day." And I have a hard time doing that because I feel like I'm not being productive throughout the day. And so she'll tell me stuff like, "Take a nap. Those things that you need to do will be there after you get done with your nap." And then I thought about, you know, how much more alert, how much more productive can you be if you're rested? Galatians 6:9 is, it's been my life scripture for many, many years. It's, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." And I believe I said this in the last message about how this is a verse that I try to live by. But I look at "let us not become weary." And to me, it's like, you can't get tired. You can't get tired. You got to keep going. Well, no. It was explained to me that this means you're going to get tired. So rest. You're going to get tired. So rest. And then get right back at it. And then get back at it. Jesus took time to rest. Do you think of Jesus taking care of himself by resting? I didn't. I didn't think of that until I read that scripture right there and then pictured how it might have went in my own head. They may not be what you immediately comes to mind when you think about Jesus, and yet it's true. If he needed rest and spend concentrated, unrushed time with God, how much more do we need to do the same? See, we find peace in Jesus. I know I do. And I have, when I have peace, I have time. Are you stressed? Rest in Jesus. Are you discouraged? Rest in Jesus. Is your world crazy busy? Rest in Jesus. Ask him to show you what to do. Ask him to prepare you for what is next. And then ask him to bless you as he blesses your neighbors. At this time, we're going to do something that's a little different. Prayer and anointing. In the past couple of weeks, down in Lingleville and here in the colony, there's been a couple of people that's asked me to pray for them, and I've used the anointing oil. And I want to read the scripture. It's James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Tonight, come on up, Matthew and Aunt Lori. I want to make time. Jesus made time. He made time for healing. You remember when we talked about he got the news of John, his cousin that was killed? He got that news. But before he could meet with the Lord and mourn that death and spend time with the Lord, he had to heal others. He took time to heal others. I know this church, and I know what a lot of you have gone through in this past year. I know what a few of you are going through right now. There's no power in this oil. It's just oil. There's no power in it. Where the power lies is in the obedience. It says, anoint and pray for healing. Amen. So at this time, first off, I want to call Brenda and Jonathan up. Many of y'all may have seen on Facebook that Jonathan is just diagnosed with epilepsy. And I want to pray for you. Y'all don't have to face the crowd. You can face me. Okay. And I'm going to anoint you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be healed. Be healed.